Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we equip, encourage, and empower the helpers of teenagers. Hey guys, this is Chris Roby, and this is my co-host, Carly Duke.
Hey guys, welcome.
So this is our first series that we're doing. We have done seasons in the past, and we're making a small shift to where we're going to take a topic, and these are usually topics that we're asked about all the time, and work through them and take as long as we need to. So every series will be a different length. We really make no promises as to how long any of these are. This particular series on the unexpected will be 6 episodes, and those will be released over the next 6 weeks. We're really excited about that. We've done all of our interviews, and wow, this has been quite the series.
Right. It's going to be an awesome series. I think you're going to get some great insight, but when you're dealing with the topic of unexpected, man, some of the things are heavy. It's real. And it's something that we need to be talking about. But you're going to see as we go through these interviews that some of the topics are hard topics to talk about.
So talk a little bit about the idea of unexpected. What are we doing with this?
So we're talking about anything that comes up in your life and the life of your teenager that you had no idea was coming. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about death and loss. We're going to talk about drugs. We're going to talk about teen pregnancy. And just, I mean, these things that as you're going through life, you're not thinking, man, I hope this happens to me.
Right.
Man, I hope this is what I'm going to have to deal with this year. It comes out of nowhere, but it happens to so many people. Whether it's happened to you personally, you know someone personally, you probably know someone who has been affected by something unexpected. And so that's why we're here to talk about it.
And a majority of our guests have had the benefit of time. It's been a while since they went through these things, but these things marked their lives for the rest of their life. This is something they're going to have to carry for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And so their insight is going to be so valuable, because likely you're going to interact with someone who has dealt with something like this before, and you might not know what to do, what to say, how you can actually help. And so we're going straight to the source of people who have really gone through these things. We'll warn you, some of these interviews are difficult to get through, but we sensed a lot of courage from our guests wanting to walk back through their story again. And they were wanting to do so eagerly because they want to help those people who might be going through this. So our first interview is Malaya Bazillion. And Malaya is connected with Teen Life through someone that you probably heard before on our podcast, Beverly Ross, who is her grandma. So tell us just a little bit about Malaya's story, just kind of as a primer for this.
Right. So I won't go into too much of it because I'll let her share her story. But Malaya lost her mom at a young age, very unexpectedly, very quickly. And so as a teenager now, who she's a senior and about to graduate this month, talking to her, especially in this time, about how is life now? How was life then when you lost her? But how is life now as a teenager, as you're walking through life without your mom, as you're going to prom, as you're trying to choose a college without your mom? And talk about brave of someone who is a teenager and stepped up and said, I want to share my story and I want to help other kids. I want to help other people who have had loss. And she was incredibly well-spoken, incredibly courageous. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved this interview with her.
Oh, yeah. She just knocked it out of the park. And I was thrilled with her depth of insight. And it's really evident she has a great community around her who's helping her along. And she says a lot about that in this interview as well. A lot of courage in this young lady. We love her. We can't wait to share this episode with you. So check out the interview with Malaya Bazillion and let us know what you think.
This is the university for us, the thoughtfully engaged, for those who pursue wisdom so that they can better serve the community, for the minds that strive to make a difference. This has always been the university for those who seek a truly transformative education. This is the university for you, Lubbock Christian University.
Malaya, welcome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me.
Offering your experience to our listeners and what you've been through and kind of what's going on with you now. And by now, we've kind of got our listeners caught up to some parts of your story. But real quickly, give us an overview of, first of all, tell us about your mom.
Oh, goodness. We could be here for hours. I mean, to me, she's like obviously one of the most beautiful people in the whole entire world. Her heart was awesome, and her, it wasn't just like outward appearance, but her insides were beautiful as well. She just loved people. And I think that's something that I've wanted to kind of adopt as my thing too, is, I mean, I don't really care what you look like, what you've been through, where you've been. I just want to love people. And that's what she did. And I've always thought that was just so admirable of her, just because she genuinely just loved Jesus and she loved to spread his word and be him to whoever she came in contact with. And she especially loved kiddos and she loved babies. I mean, she wanted to go and rock kids in the NICU. And I'm like, that would be the most boring job to me. But for her, that's just something that she wanted to do. And she loved substituting so she could jump from class to class to class to be with different kids and stuff. And but also she was really devoted to her people. She was really devoted to her family and to my uncles, to my grandparents, to me, to my dad, and devotion to Jesus and all of that. So
we're not going to make the whole podcast about your mom dying and passing. We want to talk about kind of what you had to deal with in the aftermath of that. And but do give us a quick rundown of what happened, what transpired.
So in the last few weeks of January, she was getting really sick and she was coughing a lot. Like, I can remember being in the car on the way to Blockbuster to get a movie that night because my dad was out of town, and she was just like coughing things up. Like, it was just gross, and she wasn't feeling very good, and all of this ickiness was going on. I mean, most of us would think it was just strep throat, not a big deal. You take some medicine, you'll be good. And then she started running this really high fever, went to the doctor, and they told her that she had the swine flu that was going around. And then a few weeks later, or a few days later, I guess, we went to the doctor and they told us to go to the ER. And that was like the last I really remember. And then her body went into septic shock after she went into the hospital, and February 22nd, she passed away from just different deals shutting down and stuff. And I don't really know the whole story of her death. I don't really want to, because I've never thought that's what I want to remember her by. That's not what defined her. And so I kind of always have never asked necessarily, how did mom die, kind of deal. So I don't really know like the entire story, but I kind of know just the basis from hearing other people talk and being in her funeral and things like that. So
this truly happened very quickly.
Very unexpected. Yeah. Like, she was super healthy. She would work out all the time, and it was very unexpected. We just were like, oh, she has like the flu or the common cold, like not a big deal. And it ended up being a much bigger deal than what we would have ever thought.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'll just lay my cards on the table. When I hear stories like that, that always frightens me. Like, because you hear things like that.
Yeah.
And like, you just, heaven forbid that happen. And I'm sitting across the table from someone that it has happened to. And so I'm fascinated. And also just have a lot of admiration for 8 years now.
Yeah, it's 8 years tomorrow. So
Yeah. And so obviously the way you're living your life and what you're trying to do with your life is pretty awesome.
Well,
so
thank you.
Obviously there's a lot to that as well. So tell us just a little bit about how did the adults in your life, and we're not trying to throw anyone under the bus or anything like that, but how did people react to you, respond to you, treat you, and whatever you remember from way back then?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier before we started recording, but I don't feel like I grieved, quote unquote, normally. And a lot of adults, I think, freaked out that I wasn't as sad as I was. And they were like, oh my goodness, it's going to ruin her later. Or, oh my goodness, like she's going to, you know, do this or that.
Did you actually hear people saying things like that?
Really? Oh, yeah. And I don't think people thought that I could actually hear them say these things. Like, but I know people would be freaked out and tell my dad, like, hey, she's not grieving normally. And also, like, another thing too, right after my mom died, a lot of people go straight into saying, using past tense verbs. She was, she walked, she danced, she laughed. And I did not do that for like the first year of my life. I used present tense verbs. So I would be like, mom does this or mom does that. And people, I think, really got freaked out by it, which I totally understand that. Just because it's a little bit weird if you don't understand and you're not in the mindset of it all. And so I think people saw it as I wasn't accepting reality yet and all that stuff. But really, when you come from the family that I do, I feel like I've come from a very strong background of just supportive family, very strong people and believers. Whenever mom died, they all were very sad and obviously, and they were grieving. And to me, it was like, people are going to view them as weak. Like, this can't happen. And that freaked me out, knowing that they would ever see my family as weak. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I had to be strong for that. So I was kind of overcompensating and mm-hmm. being happy and laughing. And I mean, I wore yellow to my mom's funeral, which a lot of people were like, that's weird. But I just wanted to like make it more about her life rather than her death. And I think that weirded a lot of people out.
Right. Yeah.
So
you were 10?
I was 9 when she died, and then my birthday's in April, so I turned 10 that year.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right, so pretty young then, but
yes.
What you said about adults talking and not thinking that you're listening or you're yeah. hearing is fascinating to me.
Yes, and I think so often, like even still to this day, teachers do that or parents do that or whatever. They're like, oh, let me just talk about you like you're not here, but it's like, really? Like, mm-hmm. I'm sitting right here. I mm-hmm. can hear you. So yeah, it is very interesting to me. But also a lot of people wanted to tell me like, oh, God gained another angel, or he got another flower in his garden, or just dumb stuff like that. And slowly but surely over the past few years, I've kind of built up this resilience to it, kind of where I'm like, just grace and mercy, y'all. Like, that's my Grammy's famous line, I feel uh-huh. like, is grace and mercy. Just love you anyway. Like, thank you for your sweet words. Like, it's just, yeah.
Was it hard not to respond negatively?
Yes, especially with my personality. Uh-huh. I have a very, like, blunt, tell it like it is kind of personality. So when people would say that, I'd be like, really? Did he really? He couldn't pick anybody else. But, I mean, as a 10-year-old or 11-year-old, I was just like, I can't say anything to you. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if it happened now, I'd probably snap back. But back then, it was like, just trying to have grace on you. Thank mm-hmm. you for even saying anything.
So along those lines, what are some things that people said that were just not helpful?
Oh, goodness.
I mean, the gained another angel. Yes, I've not heard that, the flower in the garden thing.
Oh,
before.
I've heard a lot of different ones. It's just very weird. Like, people just say the craziest things. But I've heard that one, and then the angel one, and just a few other things like that. Also, I think putting my feelings and my grief and how I was supposed to be behaving and acting in a box. I felt like I was very boxed in at that point. And not because of my family or anything, just because of what other people had kind of said, like, oh, you're supposed to be acting this way. She can't be doing this. And I'm like, No, you can grieve however you want to. It's not based on, like, you don't know until you're there kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Plus, everyone grieves differently. So even if you were grieving someone, you wouldn't know, mm-hmm. you know? So that was like a huge part of that to me. It was just like, don't tell me how I'm supposed to be acting or how I'm supposed to be behaving or how I'm supposed to be taking all of this and stuff. So
people being more directive in how you should be.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. That. And just putting it in a box of like, no, people can do this however they need to kind
right.
of deal.
And so, you have.
Yeah, I have. Mm-hmm. Sure have.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk a little bit more of that in a little bit. But, you know, on the flip side, I imagine there had to be some helpers, some people who really made a significant
For sure.
impact. Tell us about
Oh, goodness.
Like that.
There have been so many amazing people in my life. Like, I wish I could literally just shout out every single person that has been there for me and just helped me out through the last 8 years of my life and then some. But then we'd be here pretty much all day, so I can't do that. But just honestly, I was telling Carly this earlier, actually. Me and Carly were talking about this. We called them constants. Well, she called them constants, and I'm going to steal that because I love it. Mm. Just people who are there, who just are going to spend time with you. Like, so many people would just come and sit and eat lunch with me at school, do things my mom used to do with me, take me shopping, take me to lunch, help plan my birthday party, or just different things like that that, you know, I wanted my mom there for. They were kind of stepped up, and a lot of them were women, and they were a lot of, I've always said, I feel like my mom didn't know she was going to die young, but kind of like had this feeling because she set up like different things for us along the way, especially for me. Her last birthday, like she had this huge birthday party for herself and invited all of the women in her life that she loved and were very close to her. And she wrote letters to each one of us and told us what she loved about each one of us. And that was really sweet to me. But also another thing too is my mom just really surrounded me with women my whole life who were like bits and pieces of her. And I love that because I'm able to kind of get her through other people. Hmm. So that's always been helpful, just like finding her and other and her friends and in her family and different things like that. So yeah, it was probably really the most helpful part were people who were constant and people who she had kind of left for me kind of deal. I say that in a weird way. I don't know how else to say that though, but I just feel like she left those people for me to just be there.
I love that. That's such a great way of putting that. And wow, I don't know, the last birthday having all these.
I know. Well, I just always say like, it's just like, I don't know how you wouldn't have known that you were going to like pass away in a few months if you wouldn't. I don't know, like, it's just that's what's crazy to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and it seems like in these very difficult circumstances that's where you start hearing stories like that. Mm-hmm. These remarkable things that have happened,
yeah,
that you would have never really noticed. Mm-hmm. If things maybe would have turned out a different way.
Well, even my dad, whenever she was planning this birthday party, he was like, Jenny, this is weird, like, don't do that, like, that's weird, because like, this is like, we're memorializing you, like, we don't want to think about you like this. And right. She's like, no, but they need to hear this kind of deal. And I always think that's so interesting, and like just her thought process of it all even. So
we always wonder with someone who's walked this road, there are many difficult parts of this, obviously.
Yeah.
But what would you say has been the hardest?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I think for me, I've always struggled since I was little with anxiety and depression. And I think that honestly, I really did not start grieving at all until last year around this time. I had an awful junior year, kind of like from probably September to February. It was just like, I didn't know how to grieve because I never had done it before. I've always been one that runs from her problems, and not runs from my problems, but I kind of just avoid it. Like, I just kind of go around it. And I think it's because I've always been afraid to be anxious or depressed or anything like that if I was going to deal with my pain. And so I really didn't start even like grasping my grief until probably a year ago, year and a half. Dealing with it as an almost 18-year-old is a lot different than when you're 10. Mm-hmm. So I think probably the most difficult part was just dealing with like everything that a normal teenager goes through, but not having your mom there and trying to also balance grief on top of all of it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That was really, really hard for me. It was just being able to like move through my pain. Mm-hmm. And getting through that, being able to identify and allow myself to kind of just fall into all of it and be like, okay, I'm going to allow myself to be sad. I'm going to allow myself to be angry with God. Mm-hmm. 'Cause another thing too, like that goes back to earlier, a lot of people told me, like, you can't be angry with God. Like, that's a bad thing. You can't be angry. And you can blame, like, the doctors or anyone else, but you cannot blame God. And I was just like, that's so dumb. Like, mm-hmm. I want to be angry with him. It's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just being able to accept just being in pain, I think, has been really difficult for me, in allowing myself not to be weak, but allow myself to be weak so I can be stronger later.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think going through those teenage years, you're discovering these new emotions and then immediately having to test.
Yes.
Those, you know, that, yes. Just that awareness of what you have.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I got to test the extremes of what these things are.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. And I just, looking back, I'm like, man, I should have grieved it whenever I was younger. But I'm like, I really think that it's like a part of my story now that I didn't grieve it then and that I can grieve it now kind of deal. So
right. It makes sense to me because I don't know if you didn't really have access to those emotions much when you were a kid, how are you supposed to?
Yeah, yeah. It's very.
Yeah. I would imagine too, the other people that I know who've traveled this grief road, holidays, special events, big events tend to be where that becomes more difficult. Has that been the case for you?
You know, when people say like holidays and stuff, they always think of Christmas and Thanksgiving. And for me, like, those were never really a big deal. It was just like, whatever. It's kind of like if a family member doesn't show up, like, it's like, that we miss them, but like, that's not really the big deal. And honestly, a lot of people think that I get really sad around this time of year in February because I call it her heavenly birthday, but because that's coming up. And that's just not like whenever I get sad either. I kind of like want to celebrate February because I'm like, she got her legs back. She got her hands back. She gets to dance. She gets to sing. And even though it's not here, like, that's okay. But really, like, the hardest parts for me are in April on my birthday. And then whenever I start to think about, I mean, I'm a senior in high school this year. So whenever I'm like starting to deal with like prom and graduation coming up and going to college and getting married, having kids, that's whenever I'm like, I wish I had my mom here that I can deal with all this stuff. Or whenever like I've ever gone through breakups or whatever, I've always been like, oh my goodness, like I wish my mom was here. Like those are the kind of like big events for me that I'm like, I wish she was here for this. Right. But especially like if I had to pinpoint my sadness like on a day every year, my birthday is really hard for me. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm like, I want you here. Because birthdays are always a big deal at our house. So I just have always been like, oh, I want you here for this because this is like another year that I'm getting older that you're not here to be right. a part of. Right. And so that's always been kind of difficult, I guess. Uh-huh. So yeah.
And so full disclosure for our listeners, tomorrow.
Yes.
People will listen to this a little bit down the road, but tomorrow is
yeah.
8 years.
Yes. Yeah. Today's yeah. February 21st. So yeah, tomorrow's the 22nd. Yeah. And yeah, it'll be 8 years tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, which we actually didn't know. We scheduled this like, oh, what have we done?
No, yeah. No, you're fine. Yeah. You're totally good.
Yeah. So have people stood in during those holidays? And
oh, yeah. My first birthday without her here, the whole family came in. So one of her brothers lived in Houston at the time, Jonathan and his family. And then Josh has always lived in Memphis. Now Jonathan lives in Decatur, right down the street from my grandparents, but they all came down just for my birthday. And that just made like, that made it really awesome and special. But also just people are, I mean, in our family, we do birthday months instead of just birthdays where like the whole month is about you. And I think that that's been really fun too. But also my stepmom has played a huge role, especially in this year, just with like prom and graduation and all of that coming up. She's been very like, how can we kind of include your mom in this, but also like she's not here to be a part of this, but we want to include her in that kind of deal. So that's been really awesome too. So for Christmas, my stepmom and my dad got me a ring that is called the Mother's Heart from James Avery. And I've always loved that ring just because it means a lot to me because it's like, oh, it's really pretty and it reminds me of my mom every time I look at it. So they got me that ring for Christmas. And then also when we went prom dress shopping, it was just very like, it's not a closed off conversation for us. Like we're very open about my mom. And I think that's always been really helpful too. And plus whenever we're planning my graduation party and all this fun stuff, it's like, we're still going to keep, you know, her family and people that I love included in all of this stuff, even though she can't be here kind of deal. So that's been great.
And it sounds like, you know, most of our listeners are going to be adults who help teenagers, but I imagine there'll be some teenagers who listen to this too.
Yeah.
Some people who've lost a loved one. That sounds like that's a decision on your part too, to accept that from people.
Yeah.
Because I think it would be very easy to be,
yeah,
not bitter, but like,
oh yeah, it is. Because I have always struggled with like, I have huge fear of losing people that I love. And so like, I'll get close to you, but I don't ever like, I just don't want to be like, oh, let's be best friends right mm-hmm. off the bat. Because I'm like, I don't know if I lost you tomorrow, what would happen kind of deal. So yeah, I've always had a hard time kind of accepting, also just knowing what people's true intentions are too. Because mm-hmm. you don't know if people are really just wanting to talk to you to mark it off of their Christian bucket list kind of deal, or if they really genuinely care and want to talk to you kind of deal. And so that's always been really a struggle. But yeah, just accepting that love and accepting that support from people has been a huge deal too.
So a couple other questions. Thank you, by the way, for your openness on all this.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
Absolutely. I'm an open book, really and truly.
Yeah. So I guess for good or bad, how has losing your mom at age 9 changed you?
Oh, I don't know. I tried asking some of my friends today because, I mean, a lot of my friends I've grown up with my whole life, so they've known me since before mom passed away and after. And I was like, how have I changed since mom died? And they were like really open with me, but a lot of my friends were like, you're very more self-aware now. Hmm. And I was like, because I was so young, those are the years whenever your personality is forming. So I just have always thought that was something that I've always had. But I mean, my friends say that it's self-aware. I think something that's really changed a lot in me especially just whenever I self-examine myself, I think that I've become more open to different, like if you ask me a question, I will be very open about it. Like I don't like being closed off because I think I have a story to tell. And I don't think my mom's death defines me whatsoever. I don't think my grief journey defines me at all. But I think that no matter what, I have a story to tell. And I think so does everyone else. And so I just want to be open about that and be able to share it because I don't know who it's going to help. You know, I mean, there's old ladies at church that I've grown up around and they have poured into me just by telling me the simplest thing about their lives. And I think that like just kind of realizing that I can do the same thing at almost 18 years old. I don't know, just learning that, being open and being able to just talk. And I think also there's a different maturity jump, I feel like. Like a lot of times I've always struggled with like making friends that are my own age. And just because I'm like, I just feel like we're intellectually not on the same level with all of this. And that's always been a thing too. It's just I've always felt like I was kind of isolated from people my age. But
you've lived a little more life than
typical
teenager.
Yes. And I mean, yeah. I've always been told that I'm kind of an old soul, but I don't know if anything, I think I've definitely gotten more bitter because of her death. Because I'm trying to think of like bad things how I've changed. Mm-hmm. I think I definitely got very angry and I can get really angry really fast now, but I've slowly been working recently on trying to kind of allow myself to get angry, but not too angry too quick to where I'm letting that consume me kind of deal. But I don't know. I really do think that the self-aware is definitely very true. And just I've become more open and being able to share.
So with the anger thing.
Yes.
What we do at Teen Life, we deal with that in groups. And
yeah.
Obviously, anger is not isolated to those who've lost a loved one. When you are getting angry, what do?
I allow myself to just feel it. Mm-hmm. I allow myself to cry if I want to cry. Especially driving now has been like the best form of therapy for me. Because I can get in my car and scream to a Taylor Swift song if I really have to in the end. Like I don't have to just like bore it all up until I get home in my room and then turn it all on. And that's been really good to just be able to get it out in different ways. I'm very... not creative, I guess creative. I love to write. And so writing has really been able to, I've gotten a lot of stuff out just by writing and also just talking about it. My family is very tight knit. And so sometimes I'll just pick up the phone and call one of my aunts and talk to her for like 3 hours. And it doesn't have to be about what I'm going through. It can just genuinely be about how crazy her three kids are. Like it's just fun because she's got three toddlers. And so it's always fun to just talk to her about all the crazy things they've said or they've done. And I don't know, those kind of things have just kind of helped me get through that anger of just being mad in whatever situation.
Yeah. I'm just always curious how people deal with.
Yeah.
This, you know, because I think that's a natural part of this process and will probably be an ongoing thing for you.
And I mean, recently my stepmom and I joined a gym and the gym is based on kickboxing. And so it's been really fun because I'm like, I can just see whoever's face I want to and just punch the heck out of this bag. Mm-hmm. And then I can go home and I'm not mad anymore. Like, gotcha. It's just awesome. Yeah. So those kind of things help too. It's just like, because I'm not really a violent human being. I don't, I'm not at all. No, but sometimes it's just really nice to just get it out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So yeah.
Absolutely. So what would you say to someone who has just recently lost a parent?
I would definitely say to accept the love of anyone in the support of anyone that really wants to give it to you. I would say to have grace and mercy because people say some dumb things to people who are hurting. But I would also say to lean in. I always say lean in and lean on. You really have to lean into the word, but you also have to lean on to the people that are going to support you. And I just think that's so important to do. However you see it, whatever, I don't know. For me, I love to just turn on my worship music and scream like just to all sons and daughters or someone that I've really found recently. Her name's like Morgan Harper Nichols, I think is her name, but she's been really, and Ellie Holcomb too. There's just so many artists that I love to listen to that allow me to kind of lean in and want to read the word mm-hmm. and be present with Jesus and in that moment. But then also I just would say, lean on your support, lean on whoever is around you and loves you, and don't push them away. Allow them to love
you. Yeah, it sounds like preventing isolation.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure it's probably you want to.
Yes, you want the isolation, but at the same time, you know, that is something that no one really wants in the end. Hmm. Isolation, I feel like, is a temporary want, not a permanent thing that
right.
we all want.
Right.
And so, yeah, for sure, just kind of accepting the love and support of others as well.
Okay, so finally, on the other side of that,
okay,
what would you say to a helper, an adult, who was walking with a teenager who has recently lost a loved one?
Yeah, I would say meet them for where they're at and love them for where they're at. They may not want to talk about it. They may not want to, you know, they may not want to make a big deal about it. They just may want you to sit there and talk about, I don't know, like boys especially love to talk about sports. So, I mean, like just whatever, like mm-hmm. that person's into. Just kind of meet them for where they are and love them. But I think also something that I've always hit on, and I think this starts out even whenever we're younger as kids, we tend to say, oh, I'm here for you, or oh, I love you, or call me if you ever need anything. And to me, as someone who's been hurting before, those words could not be any more hurtful, because so many people do not follow up on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do that, make the commitment to follow up and be there for that person.
So be more specific about that, because yeah, I could see that. So call me if you need anything.
So yeah. Especially with teenage girls, we like to do this a lot. Adults could do this too to me. So, I mean, I'm not trying to box anyone into one thing or anything like that. But this is especially for teens. This happens all the time. But people are like, oh, call me anytime you need anything, or call me if you want to talk. And to me, we don't live in a society where people want to ask for your help. They want you to come after them. Hmm. No one ever wants you to be or have to pursue help. They want to be pursued.
Yeah.
They want to be saved.
Right.
And I think that so often we say, oh, just call me whenever, I'll be there whenever you need me or whatever. But then we never follow up on it. And yeah. I think for me, it's like, if you're going to say that you're going to be there for someone, then in a week, next tomorrow, or in 2 days, you need to text them and be like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, let's hang out. When's the next time we can do this? And
I don't imagine you going through the middle of that, you're going to have the capacity to.
Yeah.
I just gave you a job.
Yes.
What I did, you know?
Yes.
Like, hey, why don't you call me? Right?
Yes. And it's like, I really need one more thing on my plate.
Right.
Like, please give me one more thing that I have to worry about, kind mm-hmm. of deal. I remember at her funeral, people would literally come up to me and be like, we should get lunch sometime. And then I would never hear from them. And I was like, really? Like, really? Mm-hmm. If you're going to ask me to go get lunch with you, you better be calling me next week to ask me if I want to go get lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that so often we're like, oh, we just don't want to say the wrong thing or offend anyone. But to me, it's like, no, you need to take the chance that you're going to offend someone
right.
and apologize for it later.
Right.
You need to just take the chance of like being there for that person. Because like I said earlier, I love to call them constants.
Mm-hmm.
Just people who are absolutely going to be there 100% for you and be a part of your support system. I think that's really important, just to kind of, if you're going to say that you're going to be there, you need to, you know, commit to that
absolutely.
And stick to it.
Hey guys, we hope that you enjoyed Malaya's interview. And I don't know about you, but I took so many things away from what she was talking about. And for me to hear her talk about what was helpful. And so we took several things away, but especially that need to follow up. Don't just say, hey, I'm here for you, but ask. Ask the next day, ask the next week, ask a year from now. How is it going? Don't just say, hey, let's meet sometime, but make a plan. Don't give them something to do. Instead, put that on yourself. But I also love when she says the people that are in her life and that surrounded her and who were constant, and she needed that, and they weren't afraid to step in and say something, even if it was wrong. That idea of say anything, say something. If you need to apologize, it's better than saying nothing. And so we encourage you to be that person to be a constant in the life of a teenager. And pass this along, please, if you know of anyone who's experienced loss like Malaya has. And we're so thankful for her and her bravery to open up and to share that with you. So if you want more information, we're going to put links to Jenny's Run for Hope and some other things. And so you can go to teenlifepodcast.com. It's a new website that we have with our new name, but go to teenlifepodcast.com where you can find our links. You'll find some notes, anything else, any links to Malaya if you want to maybe find her on social media. But we're just so thankful for you, and also thankful, we want to give a shout out to Under the Chandeliers for providing our music. So we'll see you next time, and thanks for listening.